absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast which looks at all things intercultural, with me, Anne Fox, in Denmark. This is show number 96, coming to you from Denmark. Hope you don't mind the noise, as I'm recording this in Aarhus Airport, just to prove that sometimes I do get out of Denmark. The two people we'll be hearing from in this show have both come halfway round the world to visit Europe. And such a long distance seems to lead to very strong contrasts, not always in those aspects which you would expect. We'll be hearing from Chao Lei, a biology lecturer from Hefei in China, here on her first visit to Europe. Or was it?
But this isn't your first time in Europe, is it?
Depends if you think UK is not Europe. And this is my first time here.
That is such a burning question, actually.
We'll also be hearing from Minhaj Ur Rehman from Pakistan, who recently arrived in Sweden to do an MBA, even though he already has an MBA from Pakistan. But apparently, a foreign MBA will be much more impressive to any future employers back home. One of the major differences, which was immediately apparent, is the relationship between the students and their teachers in Sweden.
In universities, to have a coffee with your teacher after the lecture, or you could actually get into serious arguments and get away with that. It's not very common. I don't know of many places where you can get away with that, but Sweden is one of the places where you could do that.
It's often surprising to us who live here what people from outside the area notice. So I had to smile when Minhaj mentioned how considerate he found drivers in Sweden to be.
Cars would stop. That was one wonderful thing that I noticed. If you're crossing the road, cars would stop, and you are the first one who gets the privilege to cross the road. Mm. And it was so nice. You know, it's kind of human to respect it, and it should be the same way in all places, but I guess.
When Chao Lei from China visited Europe recently, she found that the Netherlands was very relaxing and peaceful, in spite of it being one of the most densely populated countries in the world. But once she started to talk about the normal school day in China for her 13-year-old daughter, I began to understand how much the visit to Europe must have represented a change of gear for her. Let's be absolutely exhausted.
Hello, I am Chao Lei. Mm-hmm. You can call me Lei. I come from Hefei, which is the city along the Yangtze, and my university is the University of Science and the Technology of China.
And now you're here in Denmark just now. You've just been to the Netherlands and you're going to go to Sweden.
Yeah.
But this isn't your first time in Europe, is it?
Depends if you think UK is not Europe. And this is my first time here.
That is such a burning question, actually. give us some impressions of the things that you've noticed.
Firstly, if we talk about the Netherlands, but I heard it is the highest population density in the world of the Netherlands.
Yeah, so did the Netherlands seem crowded to you?
No, it's so peaceful, actually. And the most amazing thing for me, they have so much forest. Yeah, and also they create lots of walking paths and the park for people to relax and to touch nature with their family. So it's amazing for me to see these little kids with their parents they're walking along the path and they move around, have a look at the insects and have a look at the dead trees and they hold the huge trees. Yeah, this all very, very new for me, because in China, very seldom for us have the opportunity, for the city people have the opportunity to touch nature so easily, so frequently.
And have you any ideas about the differences as far as schooling is concerned? Because you had the opportunity to visit our daughter's school, for example.
Yeah.
And you've heard various things about how the schooling goes here.
I think...
You think we're very lazy here?
No, I don't think so. I think kids should have a reasonable, happy and relaxed life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think here the system is good. And in China, it's, the long studying time is too hard. My daughter and from go to school from 7 o'clock by, in the morning and back 7 o'clock at night. Then carry on homework 4 hours until 11 o'clock. This is appalling.
It sounds really hard to me. And I'm,
yeah.
My daughter's sitting there next to you looking horrified at that timetable. Do you mean school starts at 7 in the morning or she leaves the house at 7?
Leaves the house, started 20 past 7. She's just 13 years old.
Yeah.
It's not fair for people. Actually, for me, and I'm willing to work hard.
Mm.
Yeah, and but if you consider the time, if from 7 to 11 at night, that is how many hours?
18 hours.
Yeah. It's 18 hours.
Yeah.
Even to be an adult, it's too hard for your life. Yeah. How can you keep your passion?
But did you have such a long school day when you were a girl?
Yeah, I didn't. I go to school about 7:30 and back about 4 o'clock. Yeah, we didn't do extra course at all because,
So the school day has expanded?
Yeah, expanded a lot in the past at least 15 years.
So the students at your university, do they have such a hard timetable as well?
Even harder.
Really?
Yeah, our students are all from top students from each province. And so they must be work very, very hard and to come
How
to
can
our
you
university.
Work even harder than from 7 in the morning to 11 at night?
Yeah, you can, because you can go to 12 o'clock at night. and the high school, you have 1.5 day to rest, and then you can just have half day rest in the university.
Yeah,
you can. Yeah, they work very, very hard, because 1/3 of our students go to America, carry on their PhD there.
Yeah.
So they need not just to finish the course in my university. They also need to pass TOEFL.
Yes.
And so then they work very, very hard to get the opportunity to be successful.
Mm.
So I think here the kids really lucky.
Wow. So you're not really selling the idea for foreigners to come to Chinese universities then, if the day is so intensive and the timetable is so long. Do you get any foreign students coming to the university?
Yeah, we get not so many, a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't talk to them at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. but I think their timetable is different from us. I think it's different requirement for them as well.
We'll be hearing from Lei again as she uses her computer to produce Chinese script. By the way, if you have any comments or suggestions, you're always welcome to contact us through our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and leave a comment. We love following up on contacts or just reading about your reactions and experiences. It's a cliche for a Brit like me to talk about the weather, but the weather has certainly made a deep impression on Minhaj Ur Rehman, who came from Pakistan to do an MBA in Sweden. And not in southern Sweden, but in northern Sweden, Umeå, where already in October the temperature was close to zero, centigrade that is. And it's interesting that Minhaj points out the lack of congestion and people as a plus, just as Chow Lei did. Let's hear how absolutely freezing he felt.
I must confess that it was a serious shock. come from a country where people talk a lot, and the culture is very collective. You know, everyone knows everyone, even though cities are really big and it's kind of congested environment where you live in a same house, joint family system, grandfather and grandparents, and then parents, and then children. So it's, and people love to talk, and they love to share things. They want to help each other, and they want to know everything. It's very lively. It's very passionate. It's also, it's very congested. If you, you don't stop on a road, if you want to cross the road, you just don't wait for cars to stop. You just, sometimes you even have to step on the trunk of the car to cross the road. It's sometimes it can get as crazy as this. But when I came here, it was everything was different. Nobody would ask nobody if they needed help, and but still they wouldn't bother each other. They would be helpful if you ask for help, but still the cars would stop. That was one wonderful thing that I noticed. If you're crossing the road, cars would stop, and it's, you are the first one who gets the privilege to cross the road. And that was, it was so nice. You know, it's kind of human to respect that, and it should be the same way in all places, but I guess it's all different. But then again, it could become a big problem if there are too many people, like in places where I come from. And cars stopped for them, I guess the car wouldn't get very far.
Can we just establish where exactly in Sweden you are? Because you're not in Stockholm. You're not in the capital, are you?
No, I was in capital for like 2 days when I came here. But I had to get to my university, which is in Umeå. It's a place 10 hours by bus from. It's more like North Pole. I don't know. There are places up north too, but it's pretty much north. It's getting cold.
Yeah, it is very much up north. I have been there once, so I can picture where you are.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I don't like big cities. I don't know why. I like it more peaceful and quiet, and that's exactly the kind of town where you can actually find a place where there are no human beings. Trees easily outnumber people, and that's a very good thing. For me, it's kind of a very good opportunity to get to find a place where there are no people. It's hard to find a place like that back home.
So what are your accommodation arrangements? Do you have student accommodation, or are you in a room in town somewhere?
No, it's near university. There's this housing service. I don't know if that's only for students or that's for everyone. It's called Bostaden. What they do is that they arrange students in corridors, student corridors. There are rooms and people live in them. And you do it everything online. And that's one good thing. You don't really have to, you know, run away with the realtors and other people. You just go online, you find a room, you sign an online contract. And even before you reach your place, it's all done. The contract is signed. You just go pay. You don't have to go to bank to pay. Just pay online, and it's wonderful. When I came here, I saw my name on the door, and I had this key for my mailbox, and I had this. Everything was so great. They're more or less like perfectionists. They're very efficient.
You coming from Pakistan, and you went to Sweden, not just Sweden, the north of Sweden. How are you coping with the weather?
Oh, well, it's easy to say. I have a winter jacket and shoes, but it's really cold. I've never seen this cold in October in my life. It's getting to 1 to 2 degrees, and I don't remember I've ever been in that cold in 1 to 2. But it's really fun, actually. I've seen snow first time in my life, and it's one of the wonderful things I've ever seen. It's amazing. It's just like cotton flying in the air. That was wonderful. I almost stood there and had a snow shower. That was great.
So is snow something that's been a bit mystical for you before?
Mystical? Actually, I've never seen snow falling. Never, ever.
No?
It was the first time.
Oh,
no.
Okay. You made a comment earlier in the text about being a night owl. So, I mean, that's going to suit you very well in the winter, isn't it? Because it's going to get really dark most of the time.
Yeah, I had this, well, it's kind of weird that I always liked nights. I worked at nights, I studied at night, I did most of my stuff at night, but it's really quiet. And so for most people, it gets very depressing. One of the problems here, and I think it's kind of unfortunate that people commit suicide here, because they get depressed and frustrated. And very lonely. And but for me, it's kind of it's good because, you know, I don't. It really doesn't matter if it's a day or a night outside, as long as you're in computer. For if you're a geek, I don't think.
If you don't speak a language which uses script, then you've probably never given a thought to the way in which a computer produces ideograms such as those used in Chinese and Japanese. So when Chao Lei from China visited us recently, it was fascinating to watch how she could turn Chinese, written with Western letters, into Chinese script using good old Word. By the way, when Mark, our other visitor, says English, what he means is the Western alphabet. So let's see how Lei is absolutely spoilt for choice.
You want me to do some typing?
Yeah, so you can set my computer up for typing in Chinese.
Okay.
Bring up Word and just do some typing. And you'll see how she does it. You just watch the way it goes, okay?
Yeah.
So she's typing in English, and she just chooses. Now she's got all these alternatives. She chooses which one it is.
This is your father's family name, Fuchs.
Fox.
Yeah. So we will say Fuchs.
So what you do is you type in.
Yeah, Tony Fuchs.
Yeah.
So it's not quick. Mark's computer is not so good. We have a different system. You can type very quick, but not for English name, Tony Fuchs, because it's Mark linked, such as you say, dinner, we say, 晚餐, and automatically they will come. Mm. Yeah, you just tap in and automatically will come. Such as university. Yeah, you say 大学, so they will come automatically. Mm. But this, they don't have a link like Fuchs. Fuchs means nothing in China. Yeah.
Okay, so can you write that message that you just wrote in our book?
Yeah, I can.
You watch. She'll write something in English. It'll come in English. See, the English is there.
Mm.
And she's choosing which is the correct. Because for each part in English, there's a number of alternatives, and she's just choosing which is the correct one. You see what's happening?
Mm.
Xin. So, xin, and she's. And there are a number of alternatives because you've got different inflections in Chinese.
Mm.
So, xin could be one of four or six or eight different characters, and she's got to choose which one it is. So you can't type directly in Chinese. You've got to go via.
You see, Max cannot go in. You see, if I type in mine and the software does this, but he can. His is different. It's not so efficient.
Not so convenient.
Yeah.
So for each one, there's got dn there, d-i-a-n, and there's 7, 8, 9, 10 alternatives, and then she's got to hit a number key here to choose which one of those it is.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So that's the message?
That's the message.
And can you say it in Chinese?
It's 所有的体验都是新鲜的, 你的家、花园、晚餐、甜点以及我们之间所有的 笑话和笑声.
Wow.
We have a local language.
Mm.
And this is, government language. How to say that?
Marketing. The official
language. Official language. Because you cannot teach the kids, because some quite hard for people to understand.
Mm.
So the central government and just will all use the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just minimize the accent.
Minhaj Ur Rehman is from Pakistan and already has an MBA. So why is he in Sweden doing another MBA? Is this an absolute double? It turns out that even if you're reading the same books, there are some very good reasons for redoing the course, and he gets to experience some very different approaches to education along the way.
You've recently come over from Pakistan, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and you came all the way to Sweden to do a course.
Well, it's a master's in management. I already have an MBA, but they don't accept it, so I have to do it again, master's in management.
That sounds a bit tough, actually.
Well, it's partly because, I don't know how justified that is, but it's partly because our bachelor's back home is 2 years, or at least that was at the time that I did that.
Mm.
So it makes a total of 16 years of education. That's our master's, but here it's bachelor's, like they have 4 years of bachelor's. So my master's is equivalent to their bachelor's, but that doesn't change the fact that the complexity of the knowledge at master's level is as much as it's on master's level here.
Mm.
So I'm kind of still repeating that, but I don't know.
So what you're saying to me is that the level is not noticeably higher. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. I'm more or less, I'm reading the same books.
Oh, really?
Same idea, same concepts. Yeah, almost all. But definitely there is a difference in terms of resources and teaching and outdoor activities and cultural issues and different perspectives of looking at the same things. But yeah, more or less it's the same.
You must be very determined if you're prepared to do this again.
Well, it's kind of a strange thing, actually. It's in third word, it's something like it's a big thing to have a degree from outside master. Without it, you can't really get a good job.
Mm.
That's why I'm kind of doing it again. And it's also more about culture and other human values. That's more important than education. I've already been a very big fan of Sweden. For 8 years, I had friends here, and I've been comparing different education systems.
Mm.
I've been working with a lot of people, and I seem to have this inspiration from Finnish and Swedish education. So it was, even if I have to do it again, I don't mind, as long as I get the opportunity to go to different schools and learn the system and appreciate the values that they share. So it's kind of, I'm kind of blessed that I'm here and I had the opportunity to look at the systems closely.
Mm.
And it's an amazing system, honestly. It's just great. The values, the way they teach, the non-hierarchical system,
mm,
where people are more democratic, open to talk, and that there are no levels of authority. It's really great. And it's not common in universities to have a coffee with your teacher after the lecture, or you could actually get into serious arguments and get away with that. It's not very common. I don't know of many places where you can get away with that, but Sweden is one of the places where you could do that.
So you're enjoying the intellectual challenge, even though in many respects you're repeating what you did before.
Well, exactly. Academically, it's not a challenge. I'm pretty out of work. I really don't have to do my things.
Mm.
It's just literature seminars and pretty much reading the same things. But out of that context, I'm going to different schools. I'm interviewing different people, teachers. There are stories that they share about education and cultural things, jokes and other things are more important than education, to be honest.
So how long have you actually been in Sweden then? It's only a matter of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 6 weeks now, but I think it was very nice. Got over the cultural shock, learned a little of language. So.
Have you been before?
No, never.
No,
never been.
Okay.
There.
Thanks very much to Minhaj and Lei for talking with us. I hope that you found their perspectives of interest. Don't forget to let us know at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on November the 27th. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.